is this sense, isn't it, where people say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't like church. They sing, C.S. Lewis called some of the hymns we do third-rate poetry. And, you know, you hear some of the music that people have done, and, you know, some of it, even today's music just doesn't get you going. I mean, it's like, holy moly. So, the first one is, I don't want to go to church. I don't need church. And I would say to you, that's partially true. Notice how the evil one does things where there's partial truths in there. Here's what happens if you do church by yourself. You can certainly connect to God in a vertical kind of way. The problem is that the transformation of all of us as we come to Christ happens within the community of faith. That's why we take, and it's crazy, I've told people when we do our meet and greet, right, sometimes it's a half hour. And when Bruce, who gave us this check, first time he and Judy were up here, he says, Bill, how can they take that long? I said, Bruce, just sit down and relax, because that's what we do. We want to catch up with each other. We want to be with each other. I've heard people talk about their cows. I've heard people talk about their corn. I've heard people talk about last week their car did something. But then you also hear, could you pray for me? I want to encourage you about. And that's the community of faith. See, when you worship by yourself, you don't have anybody to talk to except yourself. And I don't know about you, but when I talk to myself, my wife has questions about me. And so we need the community of faith. So certainly you can worship Jesus by yourself, but when you're with others is when they get this movement of the Spirit, and we get to hear about somebody who went on a missions trip and somebody wanted to be with him randomly. Sounds like God to me, because that's the kind of thing God does. But if you weren't here, you wouldn't have known that, and you wouldn't have able to encourage Matt that way. So the first one is, I don't want to go to church. Here comes the other false narrative, is that worship is an obligation. Whenever people try to tell you, well, you should go to worship. Well, God doesn't need your worship. Now, that's not sacrilegious in that God did well before we came along. So why do we go? We go because we need worship. It's for us. We get to enjoy what God has out there. We get to hear about various things that are going on. Last night, I was still awake at 2:30 in the morning. My neighbors decided they needed to do fireworks. And there's something that sounds like a gun going off that makes you nervous. But that was a part of it. And I'm going to go over and say to my neighbors, boy, I hope you guys had a great time. Not telling them that I did not have a great time. But welcome to the neighborhood, right? You aren't obligated to come. God doesn't need your praise, but you need to praise. You need to align yourself, right, to become congruent with God's word. And that only comes when you're in worship. When you hear God's word, when you hear songs that speak of God's grace and God's glory, when you hear about things that have happened over the centuries, and you realize this isn't God's first time around the barn. God's been doing this with people like us a long time. All right, so now, with all of that said, let's start to jump into this. And the first, we are going to go to Philippians. We're in chapter 2. But let's talk about Philippi for a second. So Philippi, let's back up. You're in the Mediterranean. Just jump over to the Mediterranean and get yourself some baklava. That does really well over there. If you like Greek food or Italian food, get some pizza or manicotti on your plate, and now you're in that part of the world, right? So the Mediterranean, if it could look like, in your mind's eye, a rectangle or a shoebox. And in the middle of the shoebox, there's these three fingers that fall down into the shoebox, and there are various seas. And as you move from the west, the bottom of France, going over to Italy, that's the western side of Italy where Rome is, that's the Tyrrhenian Sea. Then you cross over Italy, Naples and all those places. But I need lasagna today, just hearing about it all. And so, you know, you go from Italy and then you drop into another body of water, and that's called the Adriatic. And then you go from the Adriatic and then you go across that and you come to Greece. And then from Greece over into Asia, what they would have called Asia, is the Aegean Sea. So you have these, the Mediterranean, but you have these three bodies of water, the Tyrrhenian, the Adriatic, and then the Aegean. Philippi is at the northern part of Greece. And Greece, where Italy is like a boot, Greece is somewhat like a, it's a cluster of islands that's built like an upside down triangle. And they're all broken up all over the place in that part of the world. And there's been some major earthquakes. The Santorini earthquake and volcano was one of the major geographical events probably 2,000 years ago. And it was huge. And that's really what they think was the cause for the loss of various islands where the Minoan people came from. And people have wondered if the Atlantis was swallowed up because of that volcano that blew up. Anyway, Philippi, it's at the top of Greece over on the eastern side. It's about 9 miles in from the Aegean. It's named Philippi after one of the Caesars. It has history of being a place where a number of wars were fought between the people over across the land bridge going over into Turkey. Syria, that area, came across and tried to have a battle with Greece. And that would be the various wars that you would have heard about. The one in particular has a poem called The Battle of Thermopylae. Anyway, it's that area is where you are. There was gold found in Philippi, and so it became a hub for various things that was going on. But here's what's really interesting about Philippi from my point of view. Paul would visit there twice, his second and his third missionary journeys, as he came across that land bridge coming from where Turkey is in Constantinople. If you look on a map, you'll know that Constantinople has three names in that city. One is called Byzantine, one is Constantinople, and the other is Istanbul. They're all right there. But when you cross that land bridge over into Greece, the first city that, first major city that you come to is Philippi. What you may not know about Greece is that, being that we have celebrated our 4th of July, and I hope you all had sparklers and hot dogs. But the thing that for me was interesting is the whole idea of democracy came from Greece. They were the first one to kind of put that together. And then, of course, it morphed over its history. And then, of course, it was run over by Rome. What's fascinating is even at the beginning with Greece, people would talk about who was the king, who was the Lord, so to speak, overall. And here's the key word, Caesar. Who is Caesar? And Caesar meant the king over all kings. And that word had transliterated or moved into languages. In Russia, it would be Tsar. For those of you who are German, and you like your sauerkraut, you know, you have the word Kaiser. All of them are the same root. It's the same word. It's Caesar. Well, in the midst of all of those people debating about who is the king, in Roman culture, and before that in Greek culture, you had all these gods. Zeus, Hermes, Diane, Hercules. You had all these gods. Did I say something? No. Anyway, so you have all these gods, but it wasn't just there. Egypt would have gods too. The Ra, the sun god, would be there. I remember a Bible study I was with, and Karen Burns wanted to talk about the god of the beetle. And in Egyptian mythology, the dung beetle, so it carries dung around, the dung beetle, would carry the earth across the sky. And if you are aware of archaeology in an Egyptian kind of sense, those things are all over the place. Is these little things made out of a black stone, a dung beetle. And you'd say, that's pretty crazy. They believed a dung beetle was a god. Yeah, well. And then you roll into Rome and you roll into Greece, and they all had these gods. If you didn't know it, all the Egyptian plagues that Moses brought upon Egypt, each one of those plagues was dealing with a particular god in Egypt. Every one of those plagues. So, let's start to take a peek in Philippi and hear what is said. Paul is writing. He is with Timothy. This is probably somewhere around 62 AD. So he is in and out of prison at this point in his life's journey. We're not sure if he's in prison in Ephesus or in Rome, but I'll get there eventually. And Tristan and I learned today that if you need to find a book, you can go Girls Eat Popcorn. So it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. See that? Oh, what was yours?
God eats popcorn 40 times per hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, see that? We got more to learn, Tristan. So here we go. I am in Ephesians 2. And like I said, Philippians, that's what I said. Thank you very much. So it says, therefore, if therefore there's any encouragement in Christ. So whenever you see the word therefore, everything from a linguistic point of view is built on what was written beforehand. So that's one of those. It's not written in the English language, but everything is contingent on what was written beforehand. So it says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. So what you have is Paul is writing to this group of people that he has led to Christ. You wonder if he went to a convention. You know, and here he was meeting people. And people came to Christ, and now there's this gathering of people. But they are still influenced by Rome and its gods and Greece and the history of those gods there. And they still wonder about Hercules, Zeus. They still wonder about Aphrodite and all these people. And so Paul has to help them understand who Jesus is. But notice how he starts. He starts with how a community of people function with one another. Fellowship. Love. Compassion. Affection. And there is this sense in which Paul is trying to knit them together so that they are a community of faith. So let's continue. By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Have you ever noticed it's easy to lose your purpose? You get going and you kind of forget what you're all about. And then a couple weeks later you go, I was supposed to do that. Have you ever felt like you're brain dead? And you're like, where did my brain go? I've said to Beck, someone stole my brain. She's like, yeah, I've known that a long time. Take a look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than themselves. Isn't that wonderful? Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than themselves. Verse 4 is interesting if you're a World War II buff. This was what Winston Churchill said to FDR before they got involved. It says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but have the interests of others. And he said to FDR, we need your help. And they may never come to America, but they're on our doorstep. We need you now. It was really wild. If you ever get to England, go to the Churchill Museum. It's underground. And there is a little closet. To call it a closet is actually making it sound like it's big. I mean, it's maybe this square. But in the room, they left the telephone that would only call FDR's phone. And it is still sitting there. Just the way it was when Churchill would call Roosevelt. And he said, we need your help. We need for you to help us. We can't do this on our own. How many of you ever said to people, believers, I can't do this on my own? Have you said that? Isn't it wonderful to know that you have people that you can say that to? And then hopefully they've used these words. I'm here for you. I will do whatever you need to help you get through this patch, this rough spot in your life. Let's continue. Have this attitude among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. That is really awkward in Greek. Nobody's quite sure what that means, but what I believe, and it's just my guess on this particular passage, is that the Trinity happens, and the way the early church or the early church fathers describe the Trinity and how it functions is a dance, and the word is perichoresis. Peri meaning round, where you get the word perimeter, and choresis, where it's choreography. And so they perceive the Trinity as being in a dance. And at any given time, one of the Trinity is taking the lead, and the others two are in support positions. And so in creation, it's God the Father who's taking the lead. The other two are there, if you haven't noticed, in Genesis 1. The Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. And the Spirit was hovering over the earth. They're all there, but it's the Father that you notice in creation. Then when Jesus comes, the Father backs up. And what you realize is Jesus is the focus. And the work of Jesus' life was salvation for you and me. It's the purpose of the cross. And then Jesus ascends into heaven and he says, it's better that I go away so that the Spirit comes. And so Jesus and the Father back up so the Spirit has room for you and I to function and to grow in our faith. But notice how it's a dance, how it moves. And I think the early church fathers got that right. There is some amazing things to ponder as we think about the Trinity. But we're going to focus on Jesus here this morning. He existed in the form of God, but yet did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. That word right there, there is hundreds of books written on that phrase. How does Jesus empty himself of being God? The word is kenosis, and it is it's a word that doesn't get used very much, which means it's a hapax legomena, which means it only occurs every once in a while, but nobody really knows what it translates into. But how does Jesus empty himself of being God? It's one of the mysteries of our journey in faith. And we can say we understand it. I was with people who said they understood it, and I thought, just you saying that means you don't understand it. Because Paul doesn't understand it. He doesn't explain it. So you're smarter than Paul, really? It'd probably be best if you're a little more humble in regards to the scriptures. But let's look and see what happens. Taking the form of a bondservant, the word would be slave or doulos. Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Isn't it remarkable for you and I to worship a God that would come and look like us? Now, he probably didn't want to look like me. I'm not the best looking. Lost my hair, false teeth, bad knees. No, I need some work. But isn't it interesting? He came in the form of a human. And he came to die on a cross. Then it says, and here it comes. This is the point of this morning's message, verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The key word in all this passage that we've just read is when Paul writes that God the Father has now declared that Jesus is Lord. His name is Kairos, K-Y-R-I-O-S, and it is where you get the sense that we call Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where it comes from. It comes from this passage, and it comes from the early church understanding that when Jesus paid the price on the cross and then rose again from the dead, because of that, Jesus Christ is called Lord of all. Lord of all. And that at his name, everyone will bow. Everyone will move and realize this is God. And he is worthy of our worship because of who he is and what he's done. And so as believers, we rest a lot on this passage because this is where we understand how Jesus became Lord of all. There are, in the Christian faith, I would say, especially this generation struggles with having Jesus as Savior and having Jesus as Lord. It's where this generation of believers struggle. A lot of people want a Savior, and this is probably not the best way to explain it, but a lot of people want an elevator out of hell. They want Jesus as a Savior, but they're not willing to have him be Lord of their lives. And so what's happened is that the Christian church has split that Lord and Savior. In some books you would say it was bifurcated or split in half. Here's the tragedy. You can't have Jesus as Savior if he's not your Lord. And so, and here I'm just, I could make people upset, but welcome to my world. That's the reason why some churches want to believe that it's okay to be gay. Even though the scriptures are real clear, that's an abomination coming out of the book of Romans, Romans 1. And their issue is that they want to be saved, but they don't want to do what Jesus has asked them to do. They don't want a Lord of their lives. Do you see the problem? And you see the reason why the church is so anemic or sick? Because the church doesn't want a Lord. It wants a Savior who will save them. And maybe God is like some kind of candy machine where if you put in enough nickels, you get to press what you want. And then somehow he's supposed to give you what you want. But there's a huge discrepancy in the church of understanding that Jesus is Lord of all. And I would say to you that for all of us, we need to wrestle with various things that we need to allow him to be Lord of. Are there things this morning that you wrestle with God? And you don't want him to be the Lord over that in your life? And if your answer is yes, like in my case, you and I need to come to grips with that. You need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to give this to you. I need to allow you to be Lord over this in my life. And however you deal with it, I'm okay. Because you are my Lord and Savior. See, the tragedy for most Christians is that they don't. Romans 12, it would say, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And when we have grown in our faith, we place our sacrifices on God's altar. The tragedy is that they're living sacrifices and they crawl off. And I would ask this morning that you put your sacrifice back on that altar and you allow it to be given to the Lord for him to do it as he chooses. Because you see, friends, he really is Lord of all. And as a word of encouragement, I would say to you, you can trust him with whatever you give him. He will not lead you astray. He will not let you crash. But he does ask that you trust him. And I would ask this morning that as we sing this last song, Christ Be Magnified, that if there are things in your life this morning that you need to give to him, and allow him to be Lord of those things, that you do that today. Because, friends, I don't know if you're like me, but the things that I hold on to in my life are the things that I screw up. Where all my life I've known better to let him be the Lord of all, but I still want to control it. And together we need to let him be Lord of all. Christ be magnified.
Thousand times to live one time. Come.
Psalms is the longest book in the scriptures. And do you know it's a hymn book? It's the hymns of the Jewish community. That's what it is. I don't hear any of those songs in my head. What you read in Philippians 2, where it says, and God emptied himself of all the prerogatives of being God, that was an early church hymn. And I think Paul just took that song and put it in the book of Philippians. It's really wonderful. Realize that all of our lives, when we get to heaven, we're going to praise Jesus as Lord of all. That is going to be what we do. And it's really wonderful to realize that we have already started, if you haven't put this together, you've already started being eternal beings. Isn't it crazy when you look at somebody and go, you're eternal. Isn't that crazy to think? But you see, if you know Christ, you are. You're eternal now. And we will together be able to stand there in heaven in the Oreo cookie line and be able to share what God has done and how we've seen him work in our lives. It's really wonderful. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've called us to be your own. And that we know you as our Savior. We are saved. We're redeemed people. And yet you are our Lord. We try to follow after all that you ask. Father, thank you that you love us. And via the Spirit, we are changing into your very likeness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And together, all of God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Good to be with you today, and we're grateful for rain. Although he knew there would be a Christ because that's the Messiah. He knew there was an anointed.
Then you have a good week.
Sure.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
You know, I was just reading in Isaiah 2. They just
know
when Isaiah is the prophet. Came from Syria to run over Jerusalem.
How cool is that?
And in that battle, outside the walls of Jerusalem,
wait!
Out 100,000.
Because they're
Yeah.
He's on the far end.
Great songs. We can do all kinds of songs.
It's they're townhouses. They've got either two or four in them. And they've got up and downs.
Look, and these are the women. Look at how we're signing up.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of building?
I know he's in the front.
Every woman.
I don't know if he can get in from the back or not. I always walk around and they like to the front. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's how they wander off.
Yes.
I saw you saw them all, eh?
Yes.
I'm coming, just place me someplace. I'm really good at protecting donuts.
Oh, there you go.
Somebody, somebody. What? No. Great stuff.
You've already got this.
How are you? Oh. So I have a candy. I'm going to set up out back to cook hot dogs under, if that's okay.
That's okay.
Okay. I'm going to pick it up Friday. So,
Discover Church.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Like, it's something really simple.
Yeah.
It's too easy. So my brother and his wife, Pam, do you know Mark and Pam? They're doing
the
auction.
Well, and that evening on the 12th, they've got that Christmas in July.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yes.
So that's their auction.
Brunch and fair.
So I'm going to work over there that evening.
You could over your
No, well, you too. So I'm going to come here during the day, and then I'll have to leave. It's all registered people coming.
Okay,
so I kind of want to go to the 6:30 or the 6:30.
Look at us.
That's later. But that's going to be at 8:30 this Friday. And then we're done by 3.
Exactly.
And we'll have lunch.
But I will be here for this 6:30 to 8:30. I'm trying to be here.
Yeah,
I'll be over there.
Yeah.
So I'm
in the chair, right?
The chair.
No.
Okay. So you know where I am. I'm sure you know. So whatever's left over, we'll just stick in the fridge. That's
yes.
Okay.
That'd be perfect.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I just had to tell somebody. It's you.
Yes. And I may be calling on you this week to go out shopping. I don't know. Dale's not here. I had hoped he would go to Sam's Club, but I don't realize.
I get Costco.
Either that or I'm thinking GFS.
Yeah, any of them. So if you want to run to Costco, we can run there.
I said, God can redeem me.
I probably just do GFS just because it's close.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. So whatever
you
want to do.
Time is going to be a very precious commodity this week.
If you want to give me a list, I can go.
Okay.
If you don't want to be the one to ask, you physically have to go. It's right around the corner.
I know. Exactly.
The only trouble I'm going to have is I don't have freezer space, so I'm going to have to come here. Now I got to go.
You shouldn't be
like
anything.
Hot dogs, right?
Yeah, but they shouldn't need to be frozen. They could just go
in the freezer. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm thinking.
Everything we do, I think, does.
I'm hoping to go like Thursday afternoon.
I mean,
okay.
You'll remember stuff.
Close enough.
Yeah, go back to your 20 years.
Have to have them in there forever. Okay.
Yeah.
And
I still
you
think of like little snapshots. I mean, those just appear in my head someday.
Yeah.
50 years ago.
Becky, was that big enough? That's the only size I had. Did you want a bigger one than that?
Wait, who
that
are you
board? It wasn't very big.
Hey, remember you owe me some money.
Okay.
I'll grab it when I leave. I'm here for the meeting. Thanks for reminding me, though, Doctor. Max just reminded me your short-term memory is the first thing to go.
I think that's where she is. Yeah, I see her at conferences all the time. She does all kinds of felt. I mean, she's got millions of them. And I didn't know you needed one. I gave her a roll-up one that was like this big, just so she could. I didn't know you needed one. I got rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and you know the there's an actually an
so,
opposite
yeah, we
of that.
Thing.
I just learned recently it's called hyperphagia.
Right.
It's like some people have really
so try her.
Vivid.
If you look
like
it up under the fat lady,
yeah,
Google her. I know you'll find
exploding with images and things.
But
I just
she
found
does
out
all kinds of conferences and stuff.
Isn't that interesting? About
I'm always across from her, so she sits and cuts out all these things.
I was reading stuff about
this. Okay.
I'm sure she has church.
I'm going to gather us together for, first off, I just appreciate everyone's time and their desire to be a part of the carnival, and just that is absolutely a wonderful thing. We will definitely put everyone who shows up Saturday into some position somewhere to get things done. I do have the crafts. Sue and Annie, if you want to see the crafts, I can run up and get you one so that you're aware of what's required and maybe able to at least give you insight as to what we might need to make these happen. So our final meeting will be Tuesday morning with those that can make it Tuesday morning. We meet at 9 o'clock in order to kind of get last minute details, assignments taken care of. So that will be our final meeting before everything has to be done on Friday. Friday morning is the beginning of yearly meeting, so I'm unfortunately going to be down in Canton for yearly meeting until about noonish. Hopefully that will give me enough insight into the business that the church will have to make decisions on. So that's why I'll be there, is just to be a part of some of what Eastern Region is walking through and what we may have to walk through as a church. So I will be here as soon as I can to help set up Friday.
By one, you said?
By one, I should be, because I know they'll take a lunch break and I'll just leave at lunchtime.
If anybody wants to come earlier,
yes.
I mean, let me just commit to 10 o'clock-ish, maybe I'll be here, and I'll unlock the building and stuff, and some people might prefer earlier. I'm leaving that option open to everybody.
Okay, that would be great. I mean, because you wonder how much we'll get done in 2 hours, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's always a crapshoot, right?
Do we have to worry about a rain date at all?
We're just going to trust that God has good weather for us.
Okay.
Because right now, he does.
The long-range forecast is still today. It's still supposed to be sunny Friday and Saturday. Little warm. You heard 87. I heard 84. So.
Yeah, a little warm. But people like warm.
Well,
and we've got air conditioning in the church. We can pass people through.
Chance
cool
of precipitation.
Off,
that covers everything all year.
Yes, John.
What's Friday night? That's just a musical?
Just music, yep.
Containing to the carnival?
It's just
fun.
A time of prayer to welcome God in to the carnival, to see his will be done, to ask for those that need to be at the carnival to be there. It's just going to be a time of just worshiping God before we see his hand on Saturday, basically. So music, yes. Time of praise, yes.
Part of it being here.
Yes, Friday night will be here. Yep.
Inside?
Pardon me?
Inside the church?
As far as I know.
Okay. Well, no, I was just curious. Don't read anything into that. No, we're not going to have that. This Friday night's not going to be outside then.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's cool, because that's less set up for the audio stuff.
That's kind of what I...
Yeah.
There's no reason to go crazy. It's
6:30 to 8:30. It's in the bulletin.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll get you. We just talked about that. We just had this talk.
And then Saturday, we're going to start everybody, all the programs and everything will start at 10, but if anybody can get here 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, somewhere in there, to just be last minute set up or whatever, that would be great. But we don't have particular training time, like a VBS, where everyone's gathered together to hear a Bible story and a Bible message. So what I am asking of all the volunteers is just engage with people. You know, what brings you out today? Where did you hear about us? Do you have a church home? Just engage people, let them know that we're friendly.
Yeah.
And we do have Prayer Bear Ministries. She always has a gospel message with her Prayer Bear Ministry, so that will, that'll be there. And then Max and John are going to be in our area that's going to be basically called the prayer booth, but that will be where they can get information about the church. That's where they'll get their invite to lunch on Sunday, things of that nature. Any questions about anything that might not be clear?
Yes. Oh, were you going to ask a question?
On our prayer tent, besides the information and stuff, we'll be able to pray with them. And
yep.
Whether it's praise or for a need or.
Yep. Yeah. I'm looking to have the prayer booth in
the library.
Jerry's
room.
Jerry's classroom. Yes, that's so it would be away from kind of the noise and the commotion. It'll be a quiet place.
Out of the sun, cool,
out of
yeah.
The sun, yes.
So
I think you'll find that if we do get any, they'll be more apt to speak in quite confidential.
Right. We do have everything on our Facebook page, not so much on our website. Our website needs help. But anyway, it's on our Facebook page, so if you do have Facebook, go out and like and share. That way it'll get spread around. Brian has been sharing on the Wadsworth page.
Does anybody belong to Wadsworth Friends, Facebook Friends? Because really? That's weird. But, well, some of you aren't from Wadsworth, but there's a Facebook page called Wadsworth Friends, and it's got 23,000 members, and I posted this thing on there, so maybe that was not a good idea.
I'm praying that God brings those that need a church home, and that they need to be here. That's my desire. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you for doing this.
Yes, thank you, Carla.
Margaret and Brian and Holly and Matthew have been instrumental as well. So I'm just the face you see.
That's a good face.
Hopefully everybody's got my number, or if you don't, you have a church directory. My number's in there, my cell number. So really, don't hesitate to call. Well, I prefer if you're able to text me before you call me, because as most people, if I have a call come in, it's not in my contacts, I don't answer it. So, I mean, yeah, really, I'm encouraging people to get a hold of me or Carla this week and just, help solidify everything and say, you know, concerns or maybe talents and or gifts that you feel like you have to offer, etc.
Okay. I would like to close in prayer with that. And anybody can feel free to pray as they feel led as well. Lord, we just come before you and we ask that you would call those that need to be a part of Bethany Friends out to come alongside and to step into congregation with us, into community with us. We also ask, Lord, that you would make Bethany Friends that body that would be able to invite and build up those that you are calling. Help us to be the people we need to be in you. this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let these days be days where you are honored and glorified. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your goodness. Mm-hmm. Help us to walk worthy as we ought.
And you know, Carla made a good point. I think that, like, I like the way you worded this, like, we're, you know, if you're here and there's people here, sharing the gospel obviously is a big part of that, but more importantly, I think, is we're sharing the love of Christ. Kind of like Samaritan's Purse, they just go out and share love and do things, and they don't ask about your religious persuasion. That's just, I like the way you put this. Let's just share the love of Christ, yeah.
That's
and everything else will fall in place.
In itself. So many people just don't have a place where they feel they belong.
Yeah, it's not enough love.
Right.
I know it sounds like 60s hippie stuff, but I'm bringing it back.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, in advance, yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it without you.
Put a bell on, right?
Right.
You guys know how to get a hold of me. You know how to get a hold of me. Anybody need my number while I'm here and still have a short-term memory? Let's see, what's my phone number again?
Yeah, I was really surprised to see that. We got that rain and they're coming back. Did we really? Right. You timed that perfectly. I think you spread the sunshine.
It'll give you something
to
We don't have to come to the same
conclusion.
We don't have to
worry
about that.
And I said, Carrie was there.
Or even if you're
sure that it rained.
Ready? You don't like blueberries, huh? Too sour?
It just tastes fine.
They're usually wet. All right, I'll come around.
We screwed up on that one, so.
Hey, Max. Imagine that. Thanks for praying for me.
Will you let Becky know?